Yeah. You know, that was the best part of that TV show, was the theme song. The rest of it was, it was just silly. It was kind of like Gilligan's Island, kind of stupid 60s TV stuff. Anyway, speaking of stupid TV stuff, hey, it's Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Good morning, I'm Tom. Here we are, 8:07. It's been, I think I can say this on the radio, it's been one hell of a week. We moved on Tuesday. We were moving over the weekend, just moving stuff in. But got up Tuesday morning. It was really windy. We weren't sure. We said Wednesday weather will be nice, but maybe Tuesday. And I talked to my wife, and around 9 o'clock, the wind just kind of stopped. I mean, it was really blustery down there where I live. And the wind stopped at 9. I called my wife, and she says, well, I'm not ready. So she says, how about 9:30? I said, 9:30? By golly, it is. And we were done moving in by about 1, earlier than 1. But, you know, it takes time. But we're all in. The rest of that day was as confusing as any day could be, looking at piles of stuff everywhere. Because we've jammed... Really, it's about the same footprint, but we didn't have, you know, it's amazing how much stuff you store in your kitchen cabinets. We had a big kitchen, then we had laundry room cabinets as well, and there's a lot of stuff in them. Now, a lot of it was my stuff. I have a lot of hats from when we did the TV show. I wore a lot of hats, and I still do. And anyway, it's all not in the kitchen because the kitchen ain't there. It will be. Soon, and I've had a whole week now, essentially, and I've done nothing. I've done a few things in the house, but very little, because now that we're out of the house we were living in, we have to put that on the market, and I need to do touch-up. And there's two things I really dislike doing. One is putting holes in outside walls. And two is putting nails to hang things, because it when the pictures are off, I like looking at pictures. It's not a big deal, and I don't want. And I put the nails in. I did it. But when I'm going to sell the house, I've got nails everywhere where stuff was hanging, and I don't want to leave those. So, well, they all came out. Holes get patched. They're getting painted. Maybe I'm neurotic, but. I got to do it. So I've spent not whole days, but a couple of days just doing touch-up. Not done yet, but will be. It's not that. I was caulking, you know, filling the holes and stuff. So now I have to do touch-up. And, excuse me, doing some changes to the heating system because, as you well know, if you listen to our program, I do unusual things to my heating system. So I need to make it look okay, so when an inspector comes in, he doesn't kind of throw his hands up in the air and run out of the house. Nothing real unusual, but just, yeah, okay, we'll change it. And Tuesday, the day we move, you know, the mail came, and I got a letter from my insurance company. And I think I could say this. I've got a homeowner's insurance with Progressive, fair rate. I like dealing with them online. If I need to talk to somebody, I can talk to somebody. No issues. So I got a notice about a month ago. You know, we bought the house in January, and got the coverage. Obviously, get the mortgage. You got it. They want to know that you have insurance. And did all that. Prepaid for a year of insurance, and I get a letter about 3 weeks ago. Oh, we're going to send an inspector out. Now, this house needs a reasonable bit of love. It doesn't look great, but it's not horrible. So I anticipated what was coming. I got a text message from the inspector. Said, I've got to do, it's a young woman, I guess, or woman, said, I've got to do 20 houses today or tomorrow, the day she was coming. So you'll see me. I'll be in a Subaru. I'll have a vest on, and the inference of her message was, I don't want to talk to you because I don't have enough time. Fine. So she's just going to take some photos of the outside and go. Okay. So I then messaged back enumerating the things we were doing, especially that she's looking at the outside. I said we would be completely redoing the whole outside of the house, replacing siding, fixing trim. You know, it's got peeling paint, yada, yada. So the day we're moving, Tuesday, I get the thing from Progressive about the inspection. And they said, you have, you need repairs on your soffits, your fascias, and siding. Yeah, I know that. And I told your inspector, well, you have to July 13th to fix this, or we're canceling your insurance in January 2027. So, not unanticipated. Would have been nice to have a little bit more time. But so I'm looking at the, you know, we moved. I just put it off the side. I put it where I could find it later that night. And there was a place where you could, customer service email. So I sent an email, and I said, look, I don't do the normal, do you know who I am thing, because that's stupid, it's vain, and that's not the way I talk. But I did say, look, this is a project house. I do a radio show and a YouTube thing, and I'm an old man. But I move at a pretty good pace. It's going to get done. And I understand risk mitigation. House has a brand new roof. Roof was done before I bought it. This past year. I said, look, if you want to give me, if you want an exemption against any water damage for anything that's leaking, by the way, nothing is leaking. That's fine with me. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be done by July 13th. I think that's a given. I haven't heard back. And I will share with you on my radio program if they're that ignorant, if that they cancel. I understand. But by the same token, I don't need, give me a break. I said, by the way, we had new electrical service hooked up this week. He said, you guys missed. I assumed the person who looked at the house just took the photos, sent them off to corporate. They looked at the pictures and said, oh, my God, he needs fascias. The fascias are okay, by the way. They need to be painted. Maybe it's a little caulking. Might be a couple of holes to fix. But the electrical service, the electrical drop was a whole other story. And I looked at it when I had the presence of mind to look at it a little more closely. I'm like, oh, geez, I don't think I used exactly those words. I think I said something stronger. And I called my electrician. He agreed. It was a kind of, I don't know who did it, but maybe they were drunk that day. I don't know. But a new drop, we did a 200-amp service. It's all done right. I said, you missed that. That was an issue. And I'm going to share with you because I got to take a break here. But when I come back, that story ain't over. You know, if something's going to hurt your house, it's probably, if you're going to have a fire or some major loss, it's probably going to be electrical, isn't it? We'll be right back. It's Hot and Cold, Saturday morning, 8:15.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore.
Dig it. Gedanken sind frei. Wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliehen vorbei wie nächtliche Schatten.
Okay, we're back. 820. Hot Cold. This is Bassett Jazz mit Eva und the Cool Boys. And this is actually a video on YouTube, and it's all the musicians are Basset Hounds. I mean, people, the real people with, I guess they did AI or something and got Basset Hounds on everybody. You have to see it to believe it's really good. Anyway, so the electrical, the service drop was stupid. It was in a bad location. It looked like it almost was cobbled together by somebody who didn't know what they were doing. But so the CMP came, I think it was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. And connected up the new drop, which had been put in the day before. And it's set up with outdoor breakers and indoor breakers. I've got a 200-amp panel. But the outdoor breakers, if we had a heat pump or a electric car hookup, we've got plenty of room for stuff. The 200-amp service, of course, takes care of that. I have no heat pump would probably be next, would be important. Anyway, that's not – and we jumped over to the old panel till we get everything swapped over. I'm not running anything of any consequence juice-wise. So and now I've got the new panel. Excuse me. As I run wiring, I just bring everything into the new panel, and we'll get it all sorted out. I'm dying to get rid of the old panel. It's just a rat's nest. It's a very small box, too, for 100-amp service. So looking forward to getting all that done. Most everything has to be rerun because the new panel is further away from the old panel. Anyway, suffice it to say, it'll all be new. So my electrician, a guy's outside hooking up, CMP guy's hooking up. My electrician is inside disconnecting the old drop. And he says, "We dodged a bullet." And he points to one of the cables, the service cable coming in, and it's partially melted. Like, this is like, is in sync with some of the other things I found. As I said last week, apparently people thought it was okay just to splice stuff with electrical tape. No boxes, no nothing. Most of it I can see and inspect. All of it's getting replaced. The whole house will eventually be rewired. And this speaks well of ground fault interrupters, ground fault circuit breakers, excuse me, that if there was an issue where a connection was poor and it starts to arc, rather than arc and create a fire, it interrupts the circuit, and you should take heed of that problem. So, anyway, we had a mess. I'm doing this because I know Dave. Dave sent me a message. Dave's a regular listener. "Good morning, Tom. Would you address the current economics of home solar systems before 9? I have to go to work at 9. Sure, Dave. I'll just change everything I'm doing just for Dave. I'm not sure what exactly you want to know about current economics. The cost of the product keeps coming down. From that point of view, and the price of electric keeps going up. Forget about the politics of electric. It's going up. So those numbers no longer intersect. I think the economics make sense, especially if you can do most of the work yourself. Physically mount the panels. That's the lion's share of the installation, physically mounting panels somewhere. If you stopped at that point, just had an electrician come in and do the rest of the hookup, everything's really good. And you have the peace of mind of knowing it's all done properly and it's all to code. And that's kind of what I did. I mounted the panels. I got everything ready for the electrician. Same guy who did the work the other day. He came in. He was meticulous. And it was worth the money. And it wasn't a lot of money, especially cost per watt. So I did note that there was some discussion this week about plug-in solar. This is something that is coming up with basically a solar panel that you plug into a wall outlet. And it, if the sun's out, it's generating electricity to displace power in your house. Basically an interesting concept, a simple concept. A single panel might be 500. It could be anywhere from probably 250 to 500 watts. And you just plug it into an outlet. And it works. And they are these are using what we call mini microinverters. And the microinverter, if you plug it into a wall outlet or you hook it up to power, if it sees power coming in from the grid, it will generate power. It'll convert what might be 36 volts DC coming out of the panel to 100, in the case of a plug-in, to 110 volts AC and be in sync with the utility power. And usually, this is the way microinverters should work, and if they're UL listed, they are. If the power goes down, the grid goes down, that system stops working because it no longer sees power coming in. And you know, a 500-watt panel or a couple of panels will just replace whatever you're using in the house while the sun's out that specific day. And obviously, on a sunny day, you do the laundry or whatever, it's a good fit. If you're not using any power, it's kind of a waste. But generally, it works okay. And those could be affordable. I don't know how expensive they really are. I expect you're going to see them at Home Depot. Certainly, if you are getting something like that, being as a lot of stuff comes in from China, you have to make sure that it's UL listed. That's for a reason. It's the same reason that we don't let the town drunk wire our house. We want it done right. And you want to, it's got to be safe. So those economics might be different. And I suspect they are. I have not really priced them. But a DIY big system, as Dave, I think, is asking about, I think you can have some pretty good economics. And I would look at used panels as well as new panels. And the price spread is not as drastic as one might seem. One might think they would be. It's pretty good. Let's see. Did you make provisions for a transfer switch for a generator? No, because on the house I will be selling, I have a breaker and a safety switch built in on the panel. So I could just kick off. I can't turn the generator on to power the panel until the main breaker is off. And that's probably what I'll do there. I'm not real worried about that right now. They're selling installed solar systems at Lowe's on a contract, Dave tells me. I don't know. You know, it depends on the numbers, Dave. If you get some numbers, you know where I am. You can give me a call. Is it a question? Is it only 120 or do they do 240? Well, a hardwired system would do 240. At that point, you're talking with the utility hookup. There may be a plug-in for 240. As you get bigger, though, you have to make sure the wiring is right, that the circuit you're plugging into is okay. You don't want to be dumping a lot of energy into a underwired circuit. And that's kind of, there's a little bit of electrical understanding here that may not be understood by the average homeowner. Somebody who really wants to do this, if you don't know, what the specific circuit is you're plugging into, you might overload it. And that's where areas of concern come in. And it's easy enough to ask an electrician to look at it and give you guidance if you want to do a plug-in. A single plug-in panel, not a big deal usually. 500 watts, I think even a modestly wired circuit would handle that okay. But it's kind of important to make sure you're doing it right. I went to trade show yesterday, gave me impression of the market is moving away from high-tech mini splits to lower-tech repairable heat pumps. Okay, it could be. the heat pump I'll be putting in will probably be an air-to-water unit. And I'm looking at the clock. I got to take a break. So I'm going to do that, and we'll be back in just a little bit. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. I was waiting for him to say, hey, Bulldog, but we don't have that much time. Let's go over to Bangor Humane Society, talk to Chelsea. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
How are you?
I am wonderful. I am living the dream. I get to snuggle some animals, and I get to talk about them, which is pretty great. So.
I didn't think to look if there were any bulldogs. I suspect there are not, but that's okay. Any dog's a good dog.
Hey, you know, I don't think we have bulldogs, but I do have a pretty cute dog I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
Yeah, her name is Elodie. So Elodie is a 9-year-old mixed breed. You can take a peek right at her photo on her website, bangorhumane.org. She is beautiful, and she knows it. She's so, so sweet. Now, sweet Elodie, unfortunately, had been abandoned at a dog park and then brought to Bangor Humane Society. She did not let that, affect her story in any manner. She's always been such a wonderful sweetheart with us. She loves attention, and staff have been sure to give her extra love. She is a sweetheart. We really don't have much history on her background. So with other animals, we are stating good judgment. It is always super important that you do really slow and positive introductions. And then if there are any dogs in the home, we do require a dog-to-dog visitation done here at the shelter, just to make sure everybody's comfortable. And then as for cats, obviously making sure everybody has their space in the home. Like I said, slow, positive introductions are going to be super, super important.
Mm.
She's been super, super social with all humans. We have a staff member who had their 10-year-old here, and she met them, and she did really wonderful. We obviously ask that every human also comes in to meet her as well. She is an older lady, but she lives as if she is a puppy, so she's got lots of life still left in her. She does have some skin allergies, so that is going to be really important to know. We'll obviously send you with everything you would need for that and give you more information when you come and meet with her. But, oh, man, this girl, she is just full of brightness, so sweet, and she's ready to go home. So we know somebody's out there to come grab her.
Yeah, and I'm going to say I see a little bit of bulldog in that face.
See it, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So we're all worked. I was picking up the vibrations. You know, So Bangor Humane, obviously, you're looking for an animal or a friend. Come on over and check them out. But another thing, if you're having a problem, you have pets.
Yeah.
You're financially stressed. You can't afford the pet. Don't leave them. Don't abandon them. Bring them to the Humane It's not a big deal.
Call. Always call. Call around. We obviously are able to get lots of resources out there. But always just give us a call.
Yeah. So. Well, Chelsea, I appreciate your time and everything you guys do over there.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, you have a good week. We'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, and let's see. Do I hit that button? Yeah, there we go. I got the magic right there. So, you know, I've been off my game all week because moving is – it was 5 years ago. We were a little more settled in the house we just moved out of. I mean, we didn't have a kitchen there either, but it was more finished. Maybe we were 5 years younger. I don't know. But my wife and I have both kind of been kind of befuddled. And fortunately, she's the organized one. I mean, I can make stuff happen, but she keeps everything organized. And as I said, she was packing and repacking and moving things around. And everything has been stowed as best it could be. I haven't done any videos. I don't think we'll be doing any videos of our current living situation because it is what it is. We'll be doing video on the project. We didn't do anything this week because I haven't done anything all week other than run around in circles. So we got a ton of text messages at 601-207-4478. Is the roof in good shape on the project house? The roof is brand new. The roof is brand new. It was just put in last summer. And I think that was one of the reasons was to make it sellable. So let's see. Oh, we can't. God, a lot of these I can't repeat. I heard you play Hey Bulldog a number of times over the years. FYI, there's no audio until you can talk to me. It's mono verse. Yeah, and I realized that as I was getting ready to hit. I had about a minute in. Before the break was over, I said, oh, this is going to be stereo. So I apologize for that. This mono versus stereo thing drives me crazy on this radio station. We need a stereo talk radio station. George one speaker, Rick the other speaker. Tell me that wouldn't be cool. Huh? That would be fun. And they could be left or right. You could change them around. You know, yeah. You know, I have these ideas I haven't even thought of yet. Oh, man. Let's see. What else we... Oh, so we're doing a touch-up. I talked about that. Our service entrance. We don't have a washer-dryer hookup. I have the machines. And we need to do laundry soon. And we can go to the old house and do laundry. But we need to have a washer-dryer at our house. So this weekend... That's one of my you know, projects. And that's not a big deal. I have to run some PEX lines to the new washer hookup. And, you know, running PEX isn't the end of the world. That's pretty simple stuff. But it's a long run to the washer. So, and I've been putting it off. Ideally, it's a two-person deal. One person is uncoiling and one person is running the pipe. But I'll get it done. There's a laundry sink that I put in first day I had the house, I think. I need to move that over. I swap locations between the laundry sink and the washer because we want the washer and dryer next to each other. So there is going to be some plumbing fun involved. Not a big deal. I'll be glad when it's done, though. I've just kind of ignored it. Well, I haven't ignored it all week. I've literally been running around, you know, helping my wife get settled But that's today. I think I'll be starting that. And because I am Tom Gosey, the guy who you spend time with on Saturday morning, I did two things that were interesting this week because I've got a project house capital letters, a lot to do. So what did I do on Tuesday? No, Wednesday. I bought a hybrid RAV4 that got hit in the front. It hit a deer, actually. And it needs some, and it runs. And it actually is not hurt that bad. It needs a fender, passenger side fender, whole front bumper cover. I have to replace the radiator, condenser, and there's two radiators in a hybrid. They have a small radiator for the electronics, and a bunch of other parts, but no true structural damage other than bumper cover, which is plastic, and the fender. So I ordered all those parts because I needed a project. I needed a car project, like another hole in my head. So that was Wednesday. And they brought it Thursday night. Thursday, there's a guy on the Facebook market. I've been looking for a wood stove. I want to, you know, this is Maine. We can cut firewood all day long for a little, or we can buy it for little or no money compared to any other fuel cost. And that a wood stove works when the electric's gone out. And if you remember the ice storm of 1998, and I didn't have one at that point, but subsequently, the last two houses I've had wood stoves, and I laugh. Not quite laugh, but I don't mind if the power goes out because I'm going to make a fire in a wood stove, and we're going to survive. A lot of folks struggled during the ice storm and struggle still to this day if power goes out, if you don't have a wood stove, for good reason. There may be not a good hookup, might not have a chimney, but anyway. So I want a wood stove. And I had made arrangements. I found an inexpensive Yodel stove. The guy dropped it, supposedly. I'm not sure if he did or didn't, but the deal got canceled. I'd actually prepaid for it. He refunded me my money. And I guess it was last week or this week. I'm looking again for a wood stove. We're coming into the season, good season to buy wood stoves because nobody needs them, although we still do now. And stove shop had a was cleaning warehouse and had stoves. And I want a big stove. I got a big house, bigger heat load than where I am. So I found a Yodel, actually a catalytic Yodel stove that had, and he had shown pictures and explained what was going on, that had a warped baffles around the catalyst. But the stove was $30. I'm like, that's scrap value. So I went down, took an afternoon, went down and got it. And it's a nice stove, except for the warp part. So I brought it home, and I went by myself. It was Pete's day off. And the thing weighs 400 pounds. So the guy loaded it onto my pickup truck. I got back. I brought I have planks and, you can hook onto the back of your truck. And a moving hand truck, and was going to wait for Pete. And I said, you know what, let me see what I can do. And I strapped the thing to the hand truck, and I got it off the bed of the truck. I was able to get the truck near my back porch, got on the back porch, and figured I'll leave it there. And Friday morning, Pete and I were going to move it, and Pete was doing stuff for me. So I said, let me just see if I can get the thing. Anyway, long story short, I got it inside. I had to clean out some ash. I wanted to get the ash out of it because it was full of ashes. And last night, I wanted to see if it would come apart because I have to see what I can do to replace the innards. Now, there's two screws hold the top of the stove on, two Phillips head screws, and I was able to just, you know, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking this is like a car. It's going to be one rusty nightmare. I'm going to be drilling stuff out. I'm going to be swearing a lot. I'm just, and two Phillips head screws, cover comes right off. Four 10 millimeter nuts and bolts, and I've got everything on the inside out, including the catalytic converter. And this was a Series 8 Yodel stove. It's a big stove. And they made them with and without catalytic converters. and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, where's Dick Hill? I want to talk with somebody about wood stoves, and Dick would be the guy I'd call up and say, hey, Dick, this is what I think I'm going to do. And what I thought I was going to do, and I'm not sure I might still, is put either refractory, a lot of new modern wood stoves use vermiculite, a compressed vermiculite like fire bricks, except it's made out of vermiculite, so it's a little bit lighter, in the stove. And they use it for baffles. And I can set this stove up to be a non-catalytic stove. And I can make the baffle. You can saw the vermiculite board. Or I was looking last night, an earlier version of this stove, it appears to me that was non-catalytic. The parts would swap in, and I could just make it the earlier version of a what they call the Yodel 8, which eventually became a Yodel Castein. Anyway, you know, for what I paid, I could do a lot of stuff and goof around with it. So, I've done enough wood burning things over the years. I kind of have an idea, but I'm going to have to research a little bit more. The good news, that 400-pound stove is one heck of a lot lighter now because I've got it apart. So I can move it into the house and get it where I want it to be and then reassemble it where it's ultimately going to go. And that'll be cool. So, and the rest of the stove, the actual shell of the stove, the door, the top, the legs, everything, fantastic condition. This is a nice stove. So, it's always it's been one of those weeks I got nothing done. I took on this as a project now, too. It's not that hard to sit down with the computer and just research stuff. So we'll see. I will keep you posted. That we will have video of when the time comes. And I do have a lined chimney, clay-lined, not metal-lined. It will be metal-lined. I'll probably hook up in the meantime just for testing to see if it works. The insurance company's going to love me, man. They're worried about peeling paint on a soffit. Gozy's going to burn the house down. No, I'm not. I'm pay a lot of attention. Over the years, I've come to appreciate how important wood stove safety is. You know, you get a chimney fire once in your life, that's usually enough to to give you some religion. Let's see. Next bumper tune should be Cars Moving In. In stereo. Okay. I got a long one here. Tom, I've listened to your show for maybe 15 years now. Recently started watching your YouTube videos. It's almost as good as The Curse of Oak Island. The house you did in Searsport was quite a project. It was. How many houses have you renovated in your career? What advice do you have for young people wanting to get into flips, renovations, home ownership? I don't know. Let's see. The first house I lived in was in Stockton Springs. I got out of school. We were renting with an option to buy, and I knew nothing about construction. And what we did, we redid a bathroom in that house, not to any great degree, but it was the bathroom. The house originally had no bathroom, as many old houses did, and this was probably an 1850s, 1860s house, similar to the one I'm in now. And I can see that house from where I live now. At any rate, top of the stairs, there was a big landing, and they closed it off with red pine paneling and made it into a bathroom. It was kind of an L-shaped room, and that room was painted pink. The paneling was painted pink, and we thought we were going to buy the house. It turned out we couldn't buy it from a financial point of view. I couldn't get a mortgage, but we stripped the pink paint off, my wife and I, put a new floor down. Replaced the bathroom sink. I think I built a bathroom cabinet, and it came out really nice for not knowing what we were doing. Got it done, and so that was number one. We had to move out of that house because we couldn't get a mortgage. We wound up moving to Franklin, Maine. At the time, I was working at Brewer, and that house was a fixer-upper. Had plastic over the windows, although the windows had been redone by the people we bought it from, they financed it. The guy was founded what is now Stanley Subaru, Bob McMullen. He was a body shop guy, meticulous, and he would take a window out and make it look brand new. He was a great guy. Anyway, he financed us. So that was house number two. It was an old barn of a house. It was a nice house. It really hasn't it's not in good shape. We drove by recently. Number three was a house I built with a contractor, the builder. And that was in Clifton, Maine. It was a Cape-style house. And did that from Shelter Institute stuff. And obviously, I cut my teeth on that house. Did all the plumbing, did all the siding. He and I did the shell. Mostly he did the shell. And we ran out of money, so we wound up finishing it ourselves. So that was, what, one, two, three. Then we moved to Bangor, bought an old house, did a lot of renovation on that. That's number three. Had a second old house in Bangor across the street from my mother-in-law, which we renovated. That's number five, I guess. Yeah, one, two, three, four, five. Then we bought a house on Broadway. So that's number six. Then from Broadway, we went to Searsport. That's number seven. Then from Searsport to Stockton Springs, number eight. This is number nine. So nine houses. Took me a while. I had enough fingers. I was just about to run out. What advice do you have for people wanting to get into flips? You know, watch this old house. Watch renovation shows. You know, you're not going to learn everything you need to know. But you need to know what to look for. And how to deal with these things, some stuff you should hire out. Obviously, it depends what your abilities are, but you know, and be if you think you have enough money, get more. You're gonna need it. You know, it's just because you're just starting out, it's gonna be a challenge, but it is fun, and you know, it's a sense of accomplishment. And worst case, you mess something up, all it is time and money. You might have to spend more money, but you're learning as you go. And don't be, you know, one of the things about doing the TV show for me was I wanted to show the mistakes and all. Where's the tune machine? Let's do that again. There we go. We're going to run out of time here. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. You got to come back from them and keep rolling. And next thing you know, it's done. And you can say, I did that. And that's a great feeling. We'll be back. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. It's 9:06, hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. If you'd like to text or call, let's see. We got a text here. It says, you move more than a fugitive. Yeah. Well, not really. I mean, it's over 50 years. So that's once every 5 years? No. Once every almost 6 years. That's pretty. I mean, we've been at a couple places for 20 years. The one in Franklin, well, the one in the first one in Stockton and one in Franklin, those were like 1 year runs. So, well, the rest were longer. And then there was one that was really property for my mother-in-law, not for me. So, anyway, is what it is. One thing, you know, is interesting if you didn't know this and you're thinking about doing flips is, you know, what's your margin? You obviously have to find something that's affordable. Rougher is cheaper, but then you've got to do all that work. I started adding up invoices the other night because I haven't done anything else. And you know, we're not into it an incredible amount for what we've done. You know, building materials, even those that at times they can seem expensive, are pretty reasonable with some exception. You know, spray foam was expensive, but that was an imperative, and it was very effective. It was a good cost benefit. I've got to renovate. I haven't shown the garage / barn, which is a huge space and is new and is not insulated, and I need to insulate it. And I mentioned last week or recently, we'll probably use a Timber HP wood fiber bats. And I've been mulling over what I would put up on the walls. And I really hate drywall, to put it bluntly. And if you haven't done renovations and you're going to do drywall, you're going to hate it, unless you're that special person. You can pay somebody to do it. They charge by the sheet, and it ain't cheap. And I think what I'm going to wind up doing in the barn is just putting OSB up. OSB is cheaper than drywall, and you can put screws in it till the cows come home. So that's probably what I'm going to do. At this moment, it won't be for a while I'll be doing that, but I am hoping to be able to function out there with all the banjo stuff. We're starting to move banjo stuff, the tools and stuff, into that space, and need to sort out how it all's going to go together. You know, I'll do that in my spare time too. We got 16 windows coming, and that ain't all of them. Those are all first floor windows. Got 16 Matthews Brothers windows coming from our friends at Hammond Lumber, I think on the 30th or thereabouts. And I am so looking forward to doing that, especially in the areas where we're not living. The front of the house where we're living, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to look nice. We've got crappy old windows. Really, I could probably have all 16 in a day. It's just an easy day. It's not that big a deal. But first windows I'll put in will be in the kitchen area, A, because that is under construction, and B, it is a barn. And the part, I think a lot of that has to do with the windows. But by the time they get here, we'll be pretty far along in the kitchen. I am getting my feet back, so to speak, and the kitchen. I did do some work this week on the closets that I started a week ago. I'm gonna table that for a day or two or three, and get the wiring done in the kitchen so we can start putting stuff back together, and get the cabinets coming in and all that good stuff. We've got the ceiling sorted out, and it just, you know, just takes time. Like I said, it takes time and money, and if both are in short supply, that challenges things. But we'll get it done. The other project, and I haven't dug into it too far, I assumed, which was a bad thing, that the heating system, having big massive radiators, ran with continuous circulation on an outdoor reset control, and it does not. There is no outdoor reset. It's integrated into the unit to do outdoor reset, but it needs an outdoor reset sensor, and it has to be wired a little bit differently. And I do have the manuals, so I started looking at that. You know, my spare time. And I've got to go down in the basement and spend some time, pop the cover off the unit, and get the sensor, which I think the most affordable price I found on a sensor is $85. I was impressed. And we're going to have to get it. And then we can reconfigure. And what I wind up doing here is setting the boiler up so it's circulating all the time. to the radiators, and the boiler injects heat into that loop because there's so much mass in these radiators, and maintains them, let's say on a day like today, what is it, 34 degrees outside when I came in this morning, the radiators might be running at 92 degrees, pulling that number out of the air. And as it got colder out, the radiator would run warmer. Right now, they come on, go up to, I don't know, 160 or something like that, and then they cool down, and it goes hot and cold and hot and cold. And hot and cold is great for a radio show name, but for a living, it's not perfect. So we'll get around that at some point. It might not be till after the heating season, but it will be done. And that will make a difference, and especially in terms of comfort. I mean, it's really nice if it overshoots and it's like 78 degrees, except I'm paying for that with propane. And propane ain't cheap. Nothing's cheap, right? Nothing's cheap, period. End of that conversation. But it certainly would make a difference in the heating cost. You know, it'll have an impact. 10%, even if it's 10%, you know, the $90 sensor is worth it. A little bit of rewiring, maybe swapping some things around on the control. Not a big deal. So we'll see how that goes. There is a banjo room. Well, there's a storeroom where we have stuff out of the way. And all the banjos are up there. There are 36 banjos that came out of my house. And most of them are for sale. So we will feature them. We should do a show, just a video. I should do that just on YouTube of each banjo explaining what they are. We will do that because I'm going to move them into a separate room from the stuff my wife has stored, just so she has room to move around. So that'll be, we'll get that one out of the way. We'll see how that goes. And I got to take a break, but when I come back, we should address, I know, but we should do it. The curse of Oak Island. Something happened. And it could be, was it important? Did you see it? I did. We'll be back. It's hot and cold.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be on my way. I guess the Lord must be in New York City. I'm so tired of getting nowhere, seeing my prayers gone unanswered.
Yeah. Well, I feel so broke up. I wanna go home.
She got a broke down El Camino.
All right, let's do that. I got to start that over. I'm sorry. Let's hit the button again. There we go. It's better when you play just one song at a time.
She got a broke down El Camino in the front yard up on Broad. Her mom walks around in a pink nightgown, sandals and white socks. She don't mind a baseball game in the middle of the lightning and the rain. She's a pain in my brain, drives me insane, but I love her just the same. Boy, love her just the same. Something in the water, something in the water. What makes her crazy? I don't know. Never seen anything like her before. There must be something in the water. Doesn't make up and hair to cook fried chicken in her underwear. She drinks malt liquor for lunch and dinner and sends me running scared. She yells, she screams.
All right, okay, we got enough of that. Pokey LaForge right there. Can't get enough Pokey LaForge. Pokey LaForge, a man who lives in the glorious state of Maine. He looks like a southern boy. He probably is a southern boy, but he's in Maine. I tell you what, that's good. That is good. That, you know, that I found that out. I made my day. Okay, let's just talk about important stuff. Curse of Oak Island. I've now reconciled that it was probably, 2 months before the end of the season. They're going to just stay with the party line, which is they're just going to screw with us. Maybe they'll find something. Maybe they will. I don't even care. I'm just watching because I'd like to torment myself. But they found a nail last week. They found a broken nail from the 1700s. Tell you what, if that ain't excitement, I don't know what is. And the fact that they endlessly go back to now it may be the Knights Templar have put stuff there. I don't care. Nothing about the Knights Templar in Europe and getting chased out of Europe and all that stuff may be relevant. But what's that got to do with digging a damn hole on Oak Island and finding something or not finding something? But that's half the show. It's just to talk about all the stupid Knights Templar. So anyway, okay, I got that off my chest. But as I said, I've said many times, you don't have to watch it if you have cable. You don't have to watch it live. You can watch it for free the next day streaming. And this week, because it's still up streaming, I'm sure, you can fast forward through. There are no commercials. And if you can't thank God for anything in your life, you would thank God for the fact there are no commercials on the streaming version this week. Sometimes they have them. And the other thing you can be grateful to God for is the fact that you can fast forward through all the nonsense, which means it's about a 5-minute show. And I will accept 5 minutes just so I have the opportunity to have something to complain about on Saturday morning. And I don't do it every week, but this is an Oak Island week, so you got it. Let's see. Anything else we need to cover before we carry on? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the phone, see what we got. We got the phone ringing here. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. Dave Cameron, how are you today?
Good.
I have a question regarding the illustrious deceased Professor Dick Hill.
Yeah.
We have been having discussions recently about the about hydro dams in the state of Maine.
Yes.
Weren't there two dams he was talking about that could provide, like, the majority of Maine's electricity needs? If that was the case, what were they?
Oh, God. I don't remember. That was a few years ago now, and
I know.
I'm not. Oop, I. You still there? Yeah.
Me?
No. Hang on. I lost the caller because Pete just called in, and I'm gonna lock Pete in so I don't hang up on him too. Caller, I don't remember the dams, but they didn't. They were substantial, but they were not, you know, like 50% of the state of Maine power capacity. It was something significantly less. But the we lamented whether that made sense or not. I mean, from an ecological point of view, yeah, there's an advantage not having the dams. You juxtapose that against burning natural gas or oil in lieu of having that capacity. I'm not sure that's a fit, but that's remains to be seen. Okay. All I have to do now is, Pete, I lost your theme music.
That's all right. I don't mind.
I had theme music all. Wait a minute. Whoa.
You lost everything. Oh, never mind. I'll be quiet again. I'm not on yet.
Here we go.
Consummate professional. Oh, my goodness. What is this?
Pete is so positive. Such a positive individual.
Look, the song is fine, but what is this version of it?
This is
1970s dive bar.
You got it right. It's 1970 NRBQ. It's NRBQ, and you're gonna upset people if you start dissing NRBQ. I just want you to.
I'll. What is that? What? New Revolution.
No, New Rhythms and Blues Quintet.
Oh, nobody wants to listen to that.
Okay, all right. Folks, Pete is at our place of business till 3 o'clock today. You can call
him
up.
I'll fight anyone that doesn't think so.
You can have it out with Pete.
There's just a circle and people are cheering with fistfuls of cash as me and some old lady are duking it out.
Kick his ass, lady.
She's like, they were my favorite band. I'm like, they suck.
Well, good morning.
Times change.
Good morning.
I have solved.
Calm down.
It is an election year.
Okay.
I have solved two major issues. One, I've solved property tax.
Okay.
Right? Because I saw this thing online that said, what if for income tax, instead of you paying tax based on what you made, the government guesses how much you could have made, and that's how much tax you pay. And then it said that's how property tax works, and that is how property tax works. So here's what we're going to do. So the assessor comes around, decides what the property is worth. Let's say your house is worth $200K, and let's say 5 years later you sell your house, and it sells for $150,000, and there's been no assessment since then. So they've been taxing you for $200K the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They have to rebate you that tax. Whatever you paid taxes on that $50K that you did not make, the town has to rebate that tax to you.
Okay.
That motivates them to be conservative in their estimate and to be regular in their estimate. So if the market crashed tomorrow, do you think they're going to send the assessor around to knock $100,000 off everybody's tax bill? No. Unless they know they're going to have to pay that money back, then they're going to. Then they're going to be responsible.
Okay.
Property taxes solved. Next is the healthcare industry. Aside from my goon squads that I'm going to have going around to every office in the state, from the most expensive hospital to the quackiest chiropractor, and figuring out how much they're billing and whether it's fair or not, and fining them for it if they're billing too much. I'm going to start the Office of Medical Debt, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to submit your medical bill to my office. We're going to say, okay, we can get it. Like, let's say you got a bill for $40K. I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to get it for you for $4K plus $1,000 for the office because we got a profit to continue operating. So we'll get your $40K bill down to $5K. All you do is just don't pay it. So they don't pay the bill. My Office of Medical Debt is going to pay 10 cents on the dollar for medical debt. Now, the hospital has an option, you know, the one that charged you $40K that was too much money. They can either sell it to me for 10 cents on the dollar, or they can sell it to somebody else for 4 cents on the dollar, but that guy's not paying for it. So they're going to sell it to me for 10, I'm going to pay $4,000 for it, and then that guy's going to pay me for it, and then everything's fine. Nothing happens to his credit, he got his service, and the hospital's eating the bill because they charge too much to begin with. That will motivate them to make the bills reasonable enough that people can pay them.
Because
I got a friend, had a broken bone.
Mm-hmm.
Their end for that bill, this is after insurance, was $40,000.
Wow.
That's too much for that.
Yeah.
This is getting out of, and you know what's funny is all our current politicians, they will not address the cost of health. They're like, we need to make insurance more accessible with rebate. No, no, no. Insurance shouldn't even exist except for critical emergencies like open heart surgery. That's what it was originally for.
Right.
The cost of the health care needs to be affordable.
Well,
and they won't do that.
Yeah,
that's why you vote me in.
Let me share.
I'm a troublemaker.
Yeah, we knew that. We knew that. That's the truth right there. But let me mention something, and I don't think my memory's faulty on this, and maybe somebody can message in and correct me, but I think this is accurate. Way back a long time ago when John Baldacci was governor, he was trying to revamp the healthcare system, and he and kind of was talking about mitigating the cost, the billing, you know, what they being in quotation marks, charge. And he got slapped down so fast. I remember that was
exactly.
Yesterday. And that's, you know, going to be part of the issue. Because, you know, I think back to when I was a kid. Now, I'm an old man. But I remember I fractured my collarbone. And I went to see, my mother took me to our doctor. We didn't go to the hospital. We didn't go to the emergency room because I didn't know what was going on. I put my arm up and it hurt. I didn't know what happened. And the doctor took an x-ray in his office, Dr. Becker, and then he said, well, you got a green stick fracture. Now, granted, that's when my bones were very flexible. So it was just like a green piece of wood kind of cracked a little bit. He took a 2-inch wide tape, kind of like duct tape. It was, you know, medical tape, and taped over my back, over the collarbone to hold it in place till it healed. And he put my arm in a sling. And I suspect it was $25. They did that all in his office in 15, 20 minutes, and we're out the door. And I got to walk around at age 10 or whatever and say, hey, real quick, you can crack your collarbone. But that was, you know, now I understand there's a lot of stuff that could be expensive. A broken bone can be expensive, but by the same token, maybe sometimes not. And
not that expensive out of pocket.
Yeah.
That's the out of pocket. Remember, they built the insurance probably three times that amount or something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, when I, I don't disagree.
Everybody listening has got a story like that.
Yeah,
It's mind-boggling to me how, like, every single politician in the state is like, oh, yes, it's a problem, and we're looking into it. No, you're not. No, you're not. Once you're in, you're getting all sorts of money from them. I'm not going to take that money. I'm going to take money from other people. I'm going to make sure everybody's got health care, and I'll get my grift from somewhere else. Don't worry about me. I'm creative.
All right. Hey, we got to take a break. I just noticed we're gone. God, you do get off on a tangent. But that's okay. That's why everybody loves Pete. Hey,
we'll talk about serious stuff when we come back.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. It is Hot and Cold with Pete, Saturday morning. All right, we're back. It's 9:37. We got Pete online two, actually on line three, the governor's line. And let me turn that down. And we got a whole bunch of text messages. No particular order here.
Start with the ones with foul language.
Okay, Oak Island. That's pretty foul. Rock cemented together below the boulder. What was hidden there?
Goodness.
That's the question of the day, isn't it? Have you discovered any Bobby Dazzlers at your new home? No. Well, yes. Well, it was a Dazzler. It wasn't a Bobby Dazzler. Upstairs bathroom, there was a old pedestal sink. And when I moved, we removed the sink from the top, and I removed the pedestal underneath the base. Were a whole bunch of what you might call French playing cards.
At least half a deck worth.
Yeah. And these were ladies who enjoyed being natural. So somebody was putting these cards.
It was some French playing cards from the 70s being hit under that sink.
Yeah, yeah. So that's as close as we got. I haven't found any treasure. I do have a metal detector.
We threw a lot of stuff out from that room.
Yeah, we did. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get that metal detector. I'm going to go out in my yard. I'm going to find old square-cut nails. That's right. And we're going to do a TV show on the nails we find. They'll show you. We'll show Oak Island. We'll show them nails, damn it.
When I had my house in Winterport, I took the metal detector up there, and I was going around the yard.
Yeah.
And I found something, and I had a little garden trowel shovel,
mm-hmm.
and I dug out, and I was a good-sized signal, and I found a little garden trowel shovel.
That's great.
I found exactly, it was the scoop from
Ooh.
A garden trowel, exactly like the one I was using.
Wow.
And that was the most impressive thing I found. I wasted a whole day
Well, when I lived
stuff like that down.
When I lived in Searsport, we had 1,400 feet of waterfront. I mean, it was amazing property. And there was a little sandy beach. There was a stream on one edge. The house was on a peninsula. And you would know it. I'll tell you exactly where the house was because I don't live there anymore. You know where the road is that goes to Oak Island, goes to Sears Island. It right adjacent to that, right before it, if you're headed towards Bucksport, is a house on a peninsula jutting into the cove there. That's where I used to live. And on the side closer to Sears Island Road, there's this little stream that helps create the peninsula. And the little sandy beach, not 20 feet or something, and, you know, there's not a lot of sandy beaches in Maine, but here I had one. And we had put steps in to get down to the water. And I went down there one day, and I found a coin. And it was worn because it had been on the sand, but it was obviously like a half penny or something. It was old. So then that motivated me to get a metal detector and start looking. And I found every piece of foil gum wrapper and pop top cans that was on the coast of Maine on my property. I was very proud of myself. So that was
you can hire people to do it, like professionals with really good equipment. Depending on the age of your property, they'll come and they'll metal detect it. And the deal is, everything they find, they disclose, and then you do a 1-1. Like the homeowner, I think, picks the first item, and then they pick an item, and then you pick an item, and you go back and forth that way.
Yeah. I think
a lot of people do. A lot of hobbyists do that.
Yeah, I think in England they do it where they just split 50-50 if it's going to be sold. Got a text message here. 36 banjos, ? You need a banjo hive. I'm not sure what a banjo hive is, but
like a place to put them.
Well, I have a place to put them.
Apparently the second floor of the new house. Did you talk about the your wood stove modifications yet?
I did.
Never mind then.
Well,
did you caveat it with you do not encourage the listeners to fool around with their wood stoves like this?
Absolutely.
You need to mention that.
I did not.
Advice. It's an anecdote.
We're
not saying fiddle with your wood burning devices.
Pete doesn't listen to the first hour of the show, so I have to recap for Pete.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stove, the top had to come off. Two Phillips head screws with a screwdriver, and I had the top off. They just I couldn't believe, I'm expecting rusty car fasteners, and apparently, at least on that stove, it didn't happen. Got the top off.
Yodel.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at the baffle and there's the damper and everything. 4 10-millimeter bolts and nuts, and I've got all the innards of the stove out, including the catalytic converter. So last night I got on a place called Woodsman's Stove Parts. They're in New Hampshire, oddly enough, and they sell replacement parts for a previous version of this stove that did not have a catalytic converter. And I think, and they had measurements, it looks like they might drop right in. It'd be a little bit different, but I'm on the fence. Do I do that or do I just make my own out of vermiculite? I'm going to call them and just see what they suggest, because obviously they sell parts and have more experience with Yodel stoves than I do, but it's a nice stove. So somebody sent a message, Oak Island is still for sale, Tom. I didn't know that. Boy, Pete, you want to go up to Oak Island, Nova Scotia?
I hate that island. I hate that island so much.
They found a big nail last week.
Why does anybody watch that anymore? Why does anybody watch? You know, it's like there was a show on for a while called Hunting Hitler when they were tracing his hid in South America after the war.
I watched that
one,
too.
They kept acting like they were going to find a skull with a little mustache on it. You know, they're like, oh, we found an old coffee tin with German markings. Okay.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care.
They had me stuck on that show, too. I watched that show every week. But that was interesting, not necessarily because he was there, but just because a lot of other people did escape to there. And it is kind of an amazing, beautiful country down in Patagonia there. But I don't think I'd want to go antagonize these guys. They sound like some
those
tough
Nazi,
nuts.
Those Nazi hives were some beautiful country down there in Patagonia.
I don't highly recommend anybody go anywhere near them just because But
there was an interesting book came out about 10, 15 years before that show called, I think it was called Grey Wolf, and I read it.
Yep.
And the publisher made a note at the beginning of the book that said, you know, we weren't gonna follow through with this book because we found the idea so offensive. But, like, then we saw the evidence and we were like, all right, we got to publish this book. And the book is like one of the most dry reads you've ever encountered. Like, I've read some dry books, but this was like sandpaper dry.
Yeah.
Because it's just nonstop meticulous little bits of evidence and documents and it's insane that they were planning for the escape in 1943. They knew that the war was coming. They were not going to win the war at that point. So Martin Bormann was he was making an escape route for Hitler via a U-boat or something to South America. And there's just so much, just like an overbearing amount of evidence. Which makes you wonder why they even bother with the bunker story. Because, like, well, I mean, like, if he's dead, he's dead, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
So we've gotten off topic.
Yeah, you think we. See what Oak Island does? That's what it does to us.
And then they found a coffee can with an eagle on it.
Yeah, yeah. So we do have. Are you going to put the Corolla out today?
The Corolla, okay, so I've got a Corolla. It's ready. It's a 2015 with like 137K on it. I'll probably put it out and up on the website today, but I will caveat this. The seats got shampooed yesterday, and they're still a little bit damp.
Yeah.
So you can come take it for a test drive, but I am free of all liability from your wet trousers afterwards.
Yeah, you sat in it yesterday.
Don't be like, my trousers are wet. Well, yeah. I told you they would be wet.
I'll tell you this.
Once everything's up online, do go ahead and take a look at the prices on our hybrids and our Corolla and our RAV4, because those prices will stay the same as the gas prices inevitably continue to rise.
Yeah,
they're not gonna go down, but they're not gonna go up. I'm not gonna raise them. I could do that because I've seen this before, and I guarantee you all these are gonna be gone pretty quickly because whenever something like this happens, where gas prices start to bounce up, there's a little bit of a lull, and then suddenly everybody's fighting each other to buy a hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, build the ark before it rains.
And the market is pretty dry right now. I've been kind of amazed that.
Yeah, supply is way off.
Yeah, it's really weird, and prices are crazy. I've been saying that for years, and come on. Let's get back
to
reality.
There was a car. I sold my personal car months ago, and I have not been able to find a replacement that fits the bill for me.
But what are you driving now, Pete? What are you driving now?
There was a car this week I was going to buy. It was at auction. It wasn't running. Like, I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll get it for a reasonable price, and I'll put an engine in it because I'm not afraid of things like that. But then it drove in, and it sold for, I'm not exaggerating, almost full retail. It sold for about $1,000 more than the high wholesale value.
Yeah.
And there's nothing special about it. It was a Yaris. There's nothing special about a Yaris.
Yeah.
Yaris are very basic, but I like them. They're very, very basic, small. They're not a great ride. They're kind of loud. They get good gas mileage. It's a hatchback. That's kind of what I was looking for. And it just, I was flabbergasted. I was flummoxed, if you will, at what that car sold for. But what am I driving now? I'm driving a 2015 Toyota RAV4 with 159,000, 158,000 miles on it. That's going to be for sale. If somebody wants to come buy it, you're welcome to buy that. That's just what I'm driving around in.
Oh, that's one of my cars.
Yeah, it is. It is. Do you mind? Yesterday?
I do. How many cars do we have out for sale that you're driving around?
Well, let's put that one out for sale. Why isn't that one out for sale? Somebody's taking too long cleaning the cars. That's why. She could start cleaning that one next.
I think you should show her how fast it could be done. I think that's...
I did. I cleaned it the other day. I gave it a good one. So I'd put it out the way it is, but I know nobody's going to be happy with it. And you didn't inspect it yet.
Well, I'll inspect it.
I mean, it's been inspected. It just hasn't been sticker inspected.
Okay.
You're airing all our dirty laundry
Man.
For the listening audience, and everybody's laughing, everybody's smirking.
Pete
doesn't have a car. He must be poor.
Yeah, poor Pete.
That's fine. You know what I'll drive instead? I'll happily drive the Prime.
Okay. The rollover prime?
No, I don't want to drive the prime. It's dirty.
How about the rollover?
No, not the rollover. That was good money well spent, that car. I'm enjoying moving that.
I enjoy
back
it.
And forth.
It made my day. Yeah.
Remember that when the bill comes due.
Yeah. Pete has been doing yeoman service this week, moving stuff out of my basement. And
it's been fun.
Yeah. It's a laugh riot.
Here's the thing. So the top part of the main level of the house, the living area, where my mother was, everything was packed and ready to go, like a week ago. Everything was set, organized, labeled. He says we got to start moving the stuff in the basement. I go in the basement. It looks like somebody has been living there for 13 years. Nothing's packed. Nothing's ready to go. Everything's just out.
There's stuff packed. I've got stuff in boxes and totes. But, what am I going to do? I got to paint the upstairs. I told the realtor, so if you're showing the house, the basement is going to be eventually empty. And I think, if we probably got a good morning in, we'd have most of it gone. It's not that
I think
much.
If somebody had everything packed, I would have had most of it
gone
yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
But, see, this is him. He's agreeing with me. Like, it's somebody else's room that should be packing it.
I don't know if you noticed this, but I've spent the past 2.5 months working on another house, getting it ready to move into. So.
I have. It's almost like somebody told you that every surface of that house required some sort of attention before you. I just bit my own tongue. I'm half worked up. You hear where I went? Attention. Every surface of the house requires attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're buying, like, I'm going to buy it anyway. I'll be moved in a week.
That reminds me. I got to show you the picture of the. Did I show you the picture of the partially melted service wire?
No, you told me about it, though.
Yeah, I got to show you
that. Email that the electrician found that when he was.
Yeah.
So it was the actual service line, not a line, just a line.
It was the big stout wire the size of your pinky that comes in from the service drop. It had some melt to it. It was nice.
This is why you have professionals do wiring.
I can wire outlets and stuff, a washer, dryer, whatever, all day long. When it comes to the big wires that come into the house, I want to have the electrician do it. Because I don't, I've not done that. I've done stout wires on electric cars and stuff, and I know what kind of mischief you can get into. So I just soon pay my electrician to come in and do it. I don't have to second guess anything about this massive amount of energy that passes through that particular area is done right, and I don't have to think twice about it. I could just do my little outlets and plug in the computer or whatever and not worry about it. I like that. I got enough stuff to worry about. I got Pete to worry about.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
I do require a supervision.
Not me. I require no supervision. No, but you got
you
a lot.
Definitely do.
It was just yesterday you started moving stuff. You got most of the stuff. Lion's share.
From the basement.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him. The lion's share is still out all over the place, not packed. That's what the lion's share is there.
No. Well, a lot of there's some stuff that's going to stay there, conveys with the house. But all the banjo parts are going. And how many? I think I've got about 4 or 5 shelving units that are full of stuff. That will take
completely
me.
Completely full of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, the problem is those are rims, banjo necks, resonators. I'm not sure I want to put those pieces out in an uninsulated garage. I think those are going to go in the house. So that's
we could bring them to the house 2 months. We could put them out in the garage, but
yeah,
when we do the garage, we should insulate the top part of the garage first.
Yep, yeah,
and then the bottom because the bottom part's just going to be cold
storage, and that's where that stuff would go. And I mentioned it first hour, Pete. I think what we're going to do is I think we'll just OSB the walls. We don't have to.
I wouldn't even bother OSB. I would just insulate and then poly or something. I mean, there's no point in throwing a couple $1,000 in OSB into the thing.
It's the first year
when you got other things you got to worry about.
Well, we'll put it up where we can. It's the easy stuff.
OSB
is $12 a sheet.
You want to build shelves and workbenches and stuff.
God.
That's what you want to do.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
It's just why he bought the whole property, was this garage. I guarantee it. He's like, I could make banjos in here all day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I bought it. I mean, you know, it is a nice property.
It was all a scam. All a scam.
Yeah. Yeah. I might look stupid, but I have ideas. Anyway, yeah. It'll be good when it's done. And for now, we just land stuff on the first floor and kind of work into it when the time comes. I'm gonna try to hook up the washer dryer this weekend.
It's gonna be snowing all day Sunday, so we'll have to get them over there today if you want to do that. Or you can just do the hookups and we can bring them over on Monday.
Yeah, I at least need to get the hookups done. That'll take a little bit of time. The electrical is already there for the dryer, so that's easy. But I gotta move a laundry sink to where the washer goes, and where the washer goes where the laundry sink is. So a little bit of plumbing and run the picks for the new hookup. We have removed a tremendous amount of copper out of that house.
That was a lot of plumbing.
Yeah, a lot of plumbing. And
it's for those of you who partake in fentanyl, it's all gone already.
Yeah.
Gone. We already cashed it out.
Yep. But that's true. Anyway, we're out of time, Pete.
Hot dog.
Pete's there till.
I don't think we actually covered anything specific, really, except for my healthcare plan.
Yeah, well, that's we have our priorities straight, I guess. Pete,
thank
you.
Island.
Pete, I appreciate your help.
We'll talk to you soon.
I'm
here till 3 today.
All right. What better thing to do on a Saturday afternoon to go visit Pete? Oh man.
Practicality, D doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T rubbles more or less, B are the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine.